David HaMelech explains what he said earlier, that Shlomo should judge your poor with justice. Let him judge the poor of the people to save the oppressed from his oppressor, and let him save the children of the needy from their oppressors. But besides saving the victims, let him afflict, crush the oppressor who exploits and robs. He refers to three great mainstays of the seat of judgment. One, a judge must execute justice, judge the people. Two, he must show compassion for the poor and the oppressed, save the children of the needy. Three, he must demonstrate courage and strength in order to break the teeth of iniquity. Thus we find Moshe, our Rebbe, teaching, judging the poor of the people, as he said to the wrongdoer, "Why do you smite your fellow?" A pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. He also saved the children of the needy by delivering the daughters of Midian from the shepherds of Midian. Come and see his excellence in this regard. Here he was, a fugitive from his own country, a man driven from the royal palace for the same kind of deed, a stranger in a foreign land, one against many, yet he did not relent. Moshe helped the daughters of Yisroel. He demonstrated the third quality, to crush the oppressor, when he slew the Egyptian. By recounting these three things about Moshe, the Torah makes it known that he was worthy of becoming the teacher of all mankind. A judge may infer additional lessons from the present verses. One, he must at all times be ready to give his attention to anyone who comes to him with a cry for justice. Let him judge the people, evaluate each case, and administer justice. Two, he must be so thoroughly permeated by the spirit of justice that on his own he will seek out the oppressed and the oppressors. Thus the prophet says, "Seek judgment," apostle in Yeshayahu, that is, judges should not only administer justice to those who appear before them, but seek out justice, as Eov said, "The cause which I knew not, I sought out." This is a characteristic trait of those who hate improper gain, as found in Chumash Shemos. They hate wrongdoing and will hasten to save the exploited from those who exploit them, even if the exploited do not come to them first. Accordingly, the Torah says here, "May he judge the poor of the people, take the initiative to judge them, and save the children of the needy, without first waiting for their cry. What is more, may he crush the oppressor. Once he has saved the needy man from being robbed, it is no longer necessary to crush the wrongdoer. Yet will he crush him, for such is his deep hatred of injustice and violence." Some say that the poor of the people refers to those who are active in public affairs out of concern for the people. They even lose all their own money in the end and become destitute. The Torah says here, however, that in the end they will revert to their previous state of wealth and well-being. Pasuk 5. They will fear you while the sun endures, and so long as the moon throughout all generations. David tells his son Shlomo, if you will judge with justice in accordance with the law, the people will always be in awe of you, even as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations, so will the generation fear you. According to our sages, Achachamim, David is speaking of prayer. They will fear you while the sun endures. The people of Israel pray to you in awe when the sun rises and also when it sets, v'nei yureyach, before the moon appears. For this reason, it is customary among those who begin their morning prayers soon after the onset of dawn, v'sikin, they conclude the reading of the Shema at sunrise, immediately followed by the Shemon Esrei. Hence they express their fear of heaven at sunrise, reciting the Shema, and also recite the Shemon Esrei at sunrise. Similarly, so long as the moon conveys that it is a mitzvah to recite the Mincha prayer when the rays of the sun are disappearing. A symbolic interpretation says, they will fear you when they prosper, the sun shines upon them, and they will also fear you when they suffer privation, represented by dim moonlight. Just as it is certain that the sun will continue to shine, so will they always fear you. Just as the sun is always full face, hence before the moon, more than the moon in this quality, so will they fear you. In other words, our fear of Hashem will be perfect, without blemish, throughout all generations. A generation will arise in whom the fear of Hashem will be like the sun and the moon that obey the will of their Maker at all times. They do not change their function in any way. The fear of Hashem will be constant in the heart of the people like a natural condition. A subtle interpretation based on the words of the Chovas HaLevava says, a man's work on earth can be likened to the motion of the sun. When the sunlight on earth shifts by one cubit, this is an indication that the sun has moved very many miles. An analogous effect is obtained when one performs a mitzvah or says the right thing. The same is true of the opposite. The effect on the supernal root of one's being is very great. Accordingly, David says here, they will fear you as the sun. They will come to fear Hashem by contemplating the sun and making this inference. The Zohar says, when the sun comes out during the day, Israel declares a song below, and the sun sings on high. When the sun traces its orbit, its sphere, it produces a sound, a sweet chant, and sings a song. What is this song? This is a pasuk that's found later on in the Sefer Tehillim. Sing to Hashem a new song. The people of Israel praise Hashem in harmony with the sun. If the earth's inhabitants were not hard of hearing, they would be unable to endure the melody of the sun's orbit, sphere, and chanting Hashem's praises. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Yered kemotor agez kervivim zarziv oris. May he come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Let Shlomo administer justice properly. His judgments will then impress, be welcomed by the people, like rain falling upon the mown grass which it helped to grow. They will be as showers that come down with great force to water the earth and give delight. His pronouncements will produce results. They will not be in vain. Pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Similarly, Moshe said in Chumash Devarim, my doctrine will drop as the rain, my speech will distill as the dew. It's a pasuk that's found in Parshas Vezois HaBrocha. The Torah thus refers to two forms of royal conduct. One pertains to foreign affairs, where a king must yield power with a strong hand to keep away outside enemies, to prevent them from waging war against him. The other pertains to internal affairs, where he must be pliant and merciful to the poor and the deprived. Both areas of royal conduct are depicted in the present psalm. Firm conduct is likened to a violent rain that comes down hard upon the lush grasses, while lenient conduct is likened to light showers descending upon the lean grasses. Regarding other kings, he says, let them that dwell in the wilderness bow before him. And regarding his brothers, he says, for he will save the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will have pity on the poor and the needy, and the souls of the needy he will save. These are psukim that we're going to learn in our perek a little bit later on. Some say, just as the sun causes the fruit to ripen, so does the rain. May the pronouncements of the King Solomon be like rain upon the grass when it is being mowed. Then it can easily absorb the raindrops. By analogy, may his words be capable of perfecting the hearts of the unenlightened with understanding. They are compared to showers that water the earth prior to the emergence of vegetation. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Yifrach beyomav tzadik v'rov shalom ad beli yoreach. In his days let the righteous flourish, and let there be abundance of peace until the moon is no more. As a result of his words and admonitions, the righteous will flourish in his days like grasses that flourish in the rain. Let the righteous flourish until all human beings are righteous. Let there be abundance of peace among men till the moon is no more, that is forever. Then again, David prayed that the righteous, the people of Israel, allow the kingdom of Shlomo to flourish in his days, and let there be abundance of peace till the moon is no more forever. Every prayer of David was fulfilled except this last one, for Shlomo sinned. The continued reign of the house of David was conditional upon his descendants adhering to the way of Hashem. In his days the Jews flourished, and there was abundance of peace throughout his lifetime, as the Torah states in the book of Melachim, number 1. In his days, Melachim Aleph, in his days let the righteous flourish, no tzaddik will suffer, and abundance, most things happening in the world, will take place in a condition of peace. That is, the good things will be more plentiful than the bad things. A subtle interpretation says, a moonlit night is equal to 3 guards protecting one against destructive forces. The Torah says here that even when the moon is no more, it is a dark moonless night, there will be peace. The moon shines by light reflected from the sun rather than by its own light. Similarly, the singer says here that abundance for the Jewish people will come differently than it does when they are in Golus. In exile, it is received indirectly through the non-Jews. Our sages say that the kingship lasted among the Jewish people for no more than 30 generations. Thus the Pasuk says, this month will be to you the beginning of months. This is the Pasuk that's found, of course, in Chumash Shemos. The new moon begins on the first of Nisan, and in 15 days its disk is filled out. From the 15th to the 30th, its light diminishes, and on the 30th it is not visible. For Klal Yisrael, correspondingly, there were 15 generations from Avram to Shlomo. Avram began to shine, followed by Yitzchok and Yaakov, Yehuda, Peretz, Chetzron, Ram, Aminadov, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Obed, Ishai, and David. With the event of Shlomo, the disk of the moon was filled out. Thereafter, the kings began to diminish gradually, and with the event of Tzidkiyahu, the light of the moon vanished. Thus, King Tzidkiyahu lost his eyesight at the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, who removed him from his throne. Up to his days, the Jewish people had a total of 30 generations of kingship, which is what the others had prayed for. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. V'yered miyam ad yam u'minohar ad afseoris. May he have dominion also from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. In the merit of having administered justice, he will deserve that his royal dominion extend over the entire land of Israel, from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That means from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean, which marks the boundaries of the land of Israel. As it says in Chumash Shemos, and I will set your bounds from the Sea of Suf, even to the Sea of the Plishtim. According to our Chachamim, our sages, there is a hint here that Shlomo reigned over the entire world, since the land is surrounded on all sides by sea. From the river to the ends of the earth, as it says about Shlomo, for he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tifsa to Aza, Pasuk that's found in Melachim Aleph. Some say that from sea to sea means the length of the land of Israel, along the Mediterranean coast, and from the river to the ends of the earth means its breadth. Another interpretation says that to the ends of the earth refers specifically to the parched deserts. Others say that it means from the eastern sea to the western sea. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Lafanav yichru'u tziyim ba'oyuvav ofer yilachechu. Let them that dwell in the wilderness in ships at sea bow before him, and his enemies lick the dust. His dominion will extend not only over land, but over them that dwell in ships at sea. Others say that tziyim refers to those who dwell in the wilderness, Sihon, namely the desert-dwelling Kedars, or Bedouins. Let his enemies lick the dust, prostrate themselves before him, and lie in the dust in his presence. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Malchei sarshis ve'iyim mincho yoshivu malchei shavo usvo eshkor yakrivu. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will render tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Usvo will offer gifts. He will rule not only on land and on the sea, but the kings of Tarshish and of the isles will render tribute with yearly gift offerings. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Some interpret Yeshiva literally as will return. Shlomo will decline to receive their gifts. The kings of Sheba and Usva will personally present their gifts to him and then stand in his presence to serve him. Another interpretation refers to the Messianic age when these kings will bring back all the children of Israel from exile, from Golus. This will be their gift to the Mashiach in the future. The children of Israel will be in their eyes like a precious gems, whom they will bring as gifts of tribute. Thus it says, "For the isles will wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your sons from far, their silver and gold with them." A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. An untutored man once said to Rabbi Yeshayahu, "If I tell you a fine thing, will you repeat it publicly in my name? What is it? All the gifts that our father Yaakov gave to Esav will in the future be returned by the nations to the Messianic king. Why? For it says the kings of Tarshish and of the isles will return your shuvu tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba and Savo will offer gifts. It does not say here they will bring, but they will return. On your life," exclaimed Rabbi Yoshio, "you have said a fine thing, and I will say it in your name. It means they will return the value of all the wool and all the rams, the ewes, the goats, the camels born until then. This will come to a mighty sum. Thus it says here, the kings of Tarshish and of the isles will return tribute, the tribute that Yaakov had given to Esav." Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Yes, all kings will prostrate themselves before him, all nations will serve him. Having mentioned specifically the kings of Sheba and Savo, David says here that all the kings will prostrate themselves before him. Not only will the kings of Sheba and Savo come to him, but also the kings who are under their dominion. All nations will serve him, which came true for Shlomo, as it says, "And all the earth sought of Shlomo to hear his wisdom, which Hashem has put into his heart, and they brought every man his presence, as found in the Lochem Aleph." Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Ki yatzil evyon mishaveya v'oni ve'ein ozer lo. For he will save the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. David says that those kings will not come to him, to Shlomo, out of fear, but out of veneration. But they will see the splendor of his reign, that he will save the needy when he cries. Anytime some poor man will be dealt with harshly by the judges, Shlomo will save him. The poor also, and him who has no helper. Other kings will see him as a just king, who saves the poor and the deprived, whose cause no one else champions. He helps the helpless. Despite his greatness and grandeur, he personally saves the needy man when he cries out to him, the poor also, and him who has no helper. Him who has no helper, the king does not wait for someone else to help him in this cause. He does everything on his own. While the needy one is still in the midst of crying out to him, he has not yet concluded his plea. The king will already save him. He will save the poor so thoroughly there will be no need to save him again. Some explain that the singer refers specifically to a Gentile king whose land was overrun by another king, and Shlomo saved him. He will save that needy one when he cries out for him for intervention. He will rescue the helpless prince who has been attacked by another prince to snatch away his land. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Yochos al dal ve'evion v'nachos evionim yoshia. He will have pity on the poor and the needy and the souls of the needy he will save. After he will have saved the needy and the poor from their oppressors, he will then also give them money. The reason other kings will bow down to him is that he will have pity on the poor and needy, and the souls of the needy he will save. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. Mitoch umechomas yigal nafsham v'yekar domam be'enof. He will redeem their soul from oppression and violence, and precious will their blood be in his eyes. Why does he help the poor and needy? He acts to redeem their soul from oppression, fraud, and violence, because their blood is precious in his eyes. For this reason, he delivers them from those who are stronger than they are. Some explain all these pesukim as referring to the Messianic times, when the Messianic king will behold the needy cry to the pauper to return the money that he had lent him. When he sees that the pauper does not have the money, and has no helper from whom to receive the money, the king will have pity on the poor and the needy, and give from his own money. He will do so because he knows that otherwise the pauper will swear falsely that he owes no money. At the same time, the souls of the needy he will save by helping the needy man get back the money he had loaned to the pauper. He will thus solve both their problems. He will do this, he will redeem their soul from oppression and violence, because precious will their blood be in his eyes. Accordingly, the singer goes on to tell them not to commit iniquity, so that they may live, and that he may give them of the gold of Sheba. He will also pray for him continually. Yes, bless him all day, as we're going to learn in the next pasuk. Men of great piety have always prayed for their fellow men and blessed them. A related interpretation based on the reading of Dhammam as their money says the poor man will dispute with his creditor even over a small sum, for it is important in his eyes, as it says, do not respect persons in judgment, but hear the small as well as the great, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Although the king is mighty, the pauper's money is precious in his eyes. In the future, Hashem will wear a garment upon which are inscribed all the killed of Israel. He will avenge them by the hand of the Mashiach. That is what David says here. Precious will their blood be in his eyes, in the sight of the Mashiach, to exact their vengeance upon the nations. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. V'yichi v'yitan lo Mizhav Shavo Vyaspalal Baado Summit Kolayom Yovorachenhu, that they may live, and that he may give them of the gold of Shiva, that they may pray for him continually. Yes, bless him all day. In the merit of those beneficent deeds, man will become worthy of a proper reward from Hashem, that they may live, and that he may give them of the gold of Shiva, that they may pray for him continually. The poor man will pray for the king and bless him all day. Pasuk Tezayin, Pasuk 16. Yehi pisas bar bo'orez v'rosh horim yir'ash kalvonom piryo v'yotisu me'ir ke'isef oriz. May there be abundance of grain in the land upon the top of the mountains. May its fruit rustle like Lebanon, and may they blossom forth in the city like grass of the earth. These pesukim of the chapter Tehillim may be clarified further by means of a parable. A great king set forth on a journey to the distant cities of his kingdom. In one of those cities, the governor complained that the residents do not listen to his commands. He must repeat them a number of times. Said the king, "I will give you the royal seal, and every decree that comes from you will carry the authority of the king himself." Time passed, and the king once again set forth to visit the distant cities of his kingdom. The same governor approached him. "My lord, the king, the seal that you gave me was very effective. Now the residents of the city know that every command of mine is a command of the kingdom. I have only one small additional request. At present, I receive my salary out of the royal purse. Perhaps the king will permit me to collect the taxes and then take my salary out of the taxes I collected. "This I cannot grant you," the king replied. "So long as you continue to receive your salary from the royal treasury, you know that you have a master over you. But if you were to take your own salary, you are bound to forget this." The analogous situation corresponds to the following. Our Chachamim, sages, teach that all matters in this world were placed in the hands of the envoys, specially created forces, etc., that mediate what happens in the world. There are three exceptions that remain directly in Hashem's hand: the key to rain and sustenance, the key to life, children, and the key to the resurrection of the dead. This makes it clear to everyone that Hashem transcends all lofty things in creation, and no one can duplicate what he can do. David says the same thing here. On the one hand, he asks Hashem to grant his son Shlomo every good thing. But regarding sustenance and children and the resurrection of the dead, he says, "Yes, bless him all day from your own treasury of good things. Have pity on the poor and the needy." As we learned all this in the previous pasuk, "by sustaining them with an abundance of grain on the land. May they blossom forth in the city with children like grass of the earth." The latter also alludes to the resurrection of the dead, who will rise up from the earth. May there be an abundance of grain in the land. May it be his will that even when one sows in a plot of land that is as small as the palm of one's hand, and in so inhospitable a location as upon the top of the mountain, the yield should nonetheless be great. Its fruit, the stalks of grain, should rustle like Lebanon. And at the same time, may the population of the city increase until it will blossom forth like grass of the earth. Whereas in the mountains the grain ripens later, here in the city they will blossom forth like grass of the field. Based on the present pasuk, our sages infer that when Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash, he planted on the same site upon the mountains every kind of golden fruit, and they all ripened at the proper time. Whenever the wind passed through them, there was a rustling, as it says here, "its fruit rustled like Lebanon." Lebanon is one of the names for the holy Beis HaMikdash. Cedars from Lebanon were used in its construction. These fruits provided a livelihood for the Kohanim, the priests. When the Gentiles entered the Beis HaMikdash, they dried up the fruit, as it says, "and the flower of Lebanon fades," as the pasuk that's found in Sefer Nochum. Hashem will bring this back to us in the future, as it says, "it will blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it," a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. The Gemara relates that Rabbi Gamliel once expounded, "in the future, the land of Israel will bring forth cakes, galuskos, and silk garments, kli milas, as it says, may there be abundance of grain in the land." He was ridiculed by a particular student who declared, "but does it not say in Kehelis, there is nothing new beneath the sun?" Rabbi Gamliel replied, "come and I will show you their likeness in the present world." He went forth and showed him various mushrooms, also a kind of soft bark garment surrounding the trunk of the palm tree. "The earth bringing forth cakes means that it will be unnecessary to grind flour, knead the dough, and bake the bread. Cakes will spring from the earth like any other fruit." Thus our sages say, the pas was originally pas, but it was spoiled and became lipas, what we know as relish. Vegetables added to bread for seasoning was once itself fully seasoned bread that grew out of the ground, but it denigrated to a mere vegetable. Hence the Gemara says that in the future the land of Israel will once again bring forth cakes. This pure bread will taste like the finest flour, fully baked, free of all straw and husk and bran, and eaten as it is. That is what the Torah says here. May there be a piece, pisas, of grain, a chunk of grain that is immediately edible. This will be so not only the valley where there is moisture, but also upon the top of the mountains where it is dry. This marvel will astonish all who see it. According to our Chachamim, our sages, may they blossom forth in the city like the grass of the earth pertains to the resurrection of the dead. Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef said, In the future, the righteous will burst forth and go up to Yerushalayim, as it says, may they blossom forth in the city like grass of the earth. There is no city except Yerushalayim, as it says, and I will defend the city for my sake. A pasuk found in Melachim Beis.